rather.
Blog Talk Radio.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, pick it light and pick it fast. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Oh, right now.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you who have joined us by telephone, as well as in the chat room, and as well as our distinguished panelists, and I greet in words of peace, and also to our illustrious host, my dear brother, my dear friend, who always has my back, Brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, I am indeed well and blessed to be surrounded by such royalty this evening. Are we still live?
Yes, we are.
All right. You know, so I mean, this is truly a wonderful opportunity. I mean, I want to thank everybody who has taken time out of their busy day and busy life to come and be with us this evening. This is Conscious Black Nation, where we come together to discuss situations. I don't want to call them problems, because when you are a servant of Almighty God, Allah, we don't have problems. We have opportunities. We have situations that need resolving, and as long as we operate in His will and in an intelligent manner, we can resolve that. So when we come here on Conscious Black Nation, we come together to discuss situations, but not only to look at problems, but to offer practical application of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, practical application of God's word, regardless of what persuasion you may be in, so that we can all, number one, survive this most trying time, and indeed thrive in this trying time. Our subject for tonight is A Child Shall Lead Them, Our Youth in Peril. And before we actually get into the subject, I would like each of the panelists to introduce themselves to the listening audience and, you know, let people know what you're about, you know, who you are, just briefly what you're doing, and then we'll get into this subject. Now, I'm familiar with, and I'm going to start with Sister Native Angel. Why don't you step up and introduce yourself?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, you are all in the best state of health and forever increasing faith. I'm going to introduce myself in my native language. Yat eid anotso, shikedo shidne'e, t'au eike nehidishni, ado shegwen yenishya, ado ne'e nishlinigi, honorati nishle, kia ani bashishi nakhaidene, dashiche pitetni dashinale. And the translation of that is, my relatives, my people, I greet you with the respect and honor. My name is Gwen. I am of the One Who Walks Around clan, born for the Towering House people. My maternal grandfather is of the Mexican People clan, and my paternal grandfather is of the Folded Arms people. We have to remember our clans come from our mothers, and this is how I identify myself as a Native woman.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And next, who really needs no introduction. However, Sister Chosen, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Vanessa Chosen Marie. I live in the Houston area, mother of seven beautiful children. I conduct the truth sessions daily online on Facebook, and then make it a positive practice not only in my life, but I try to in those that I encounter, and also run a radio station currently right now, Breaking the Radio, where we are hoping to transition all of that to video for the truth sessions. And I am in the Houston area.
Right. Praise be to Allah. And our third panelist, and I'm going to be very honest, Sister, I don't want to mess your name up. So I want you to introduce yourself, and hopefully during the course of this broadcast, I will learn to pronounce your name correctly. So our third panelist.
Oh, we didn't hear the name.
Okay, like I said, I can't pronounce it. I need help.
Is that Oshun Ade Olusegun? Is that
okay.
Myself?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, my name is Olusegun, my father's clan, and we was gifted with the name Sudeen Maryam Muhammad at the age of 19. We are here to assist our people in the dilemma of their of our downfall, actually. And so we're here to give the antidote for human suffering. Oshun Ede Olusegun.
Okay, you said, now how do you say that?
Olusegun? Olusegun.
Okay, okay, Olusegun?
Yes, we must be get more familiar with our traditional names, our African tongue. It's Olusegun, which is the Lord triumphs. And so we are from the clan of the Olusheguns of West Africa.
Yes, ma'am. So is it all right for tonight until I get more well-versed that when I refer to you, I refer to you as Olusegun?
Benny, thank you. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for being patient with me.
We are honored.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so I'm not going to waste time. As I said, our subject is A Child Shall Lead Them, and okay. It's taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, and it's verses 1 through 6, and I'm just going to read that very briefly to lay the foundation for our discussion this evening. And it reads, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." And that again is from the book of Isaiah, King James Version. Praise be to Allah. Now, along with that, I also want to, like I say, I'm just laying the foundation for our discussion. We're going to get right into it. And the second scripture I'm going to read comes from the Holy Quran, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, and it's Surah or chapter 93, entitled The Brightness of the Day or Al-Dua. And it reads, "In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, by the brightness of the day and the night when it is still, thy Lord has not forsaken thee, nor is he displeased. And surely the latter state is better for thee than the former. And soon will thy Lord give thee so that thou wilt be well pleased. Did he not find thee an orphan and give thee shelter, and find thee groping, so he showed the way, and find thee in want, so he enriched thee? Therefore the orphan oppress not, and him who asks chide not, and the favor of thy Lord proclaim." Now, to move right on into this, I want to start with you, Sister Olusegun.
Yes.
And the first question that I have, and this is going to be for all the panelists, is when you hear the phrase, "A child shall lead them," what comes into your mind?
Adupe, thank you, Mr. Kareem Muhammad, and all praises due to our master who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. We actually overstand the importance of our youth, and so we are at that point of giving the antidote to what it is our youth has to say according to our master's plan. And so we thank you officially, and we thank you spiritually for your dedication to our Savior's message, because it is the only message that is absolutely accurate for the upliftment of the African-American so-called Negroes in America.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. And Sister Native Angel, same question. When you hear the phrase, a child shall lead them, what comes into your mind? What's the first thought you have?
Yes, sir. The first things that come to my mind in regards to that is thinking about my own two children, how they inspire me, and what I learned and have learned through them, through whether it be life, you know, joy, wisdom, awe, and revelations that they share with me. Those are the few of the things that, you know, come to my mind when relating to that, when I hear the words of a child shall lead them.
Yes, ma'am. And Sister Vanessa Chosen Marie, same question.
Yes, Brother Kareem. I'm sorry, I'm stepping out of the office. I'm kind of in transition with.
Yes, ma'am.
My perspective, I think, probably comes from the fact that I work with a lot of what society has deemed at-risk youth. And I tend to look at them as a little more misunderstood and sometimes misguided. And in the sense of that, there are a lot of lessons that I learned through watching them and interacting with them. And it allows me to see some of the failures that we've had as parents and throughout the generations. And a lot of times they teach us how to go back and correct some of those things. I've just been able to get a brand new perspective in dealing with them and working with them, even with my own children. The way that I perceive things, we always think as adults we're right. And, you know, we can't really be wrong. And sometimes when you look at the life that they're dealing with and the circumstances that they're dealing with, it's a completely different time than I think it was when we were growing up. And, I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm in my 40s. And even now I look at the children and what they go through, I didn't touch even half of that as a child. So, I think that there's a lot of hope where some people say that there's not any, and they have the ability to lead as being taught how to step into position.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All, and I must say this, all excellent answers, because I want to say this, it's not that I'm looking for a pat answer, it's you and you all are answering from your experience, from your heart. And honestly, at the end of the day, that's what we have, is our own experience. I mean, I myself, I study and I read quite a bit. I read history, I read biographies. Yet what I found is that at the end of the day, it is my own experience that best can guide me. You know, and that's, I want to thank you all for sharing that, sharing your insight on that question. Now, to move along, two words in our topic or in our subject, which are child and lead, which I'm looking at as the most important for our topic. I went and did a little research because I'm the type of individual, I don't just want to take an individual's opinion for anything. I want some hard facts. The word child is described or defined as an unborn or recently born person, a female infant, a young person, especially between infancy and youth, a youth of noble birth, one strongly influenced by another or by a place or a state of affairs, product or result. And it says that the word child comes from the Sanskrit root, japara, which equals belly. And I thought that was really interesting. And when I get back to the questions, if anybody has a comment on it, I would really like to hear what you think about that, the root of it, the Sanskrit root. Now, the word lead is described as or defined as to guide on a way, especially by going in advance, to direct on a course or in a direction, to serve as a channel for, to live, to have charge of. It says to, the root of it is begin or open. And now with those definitions in mind, here's our second question. And I want to start with you, Sister Native Angel, on this one. In this current time, what do you see as the greatest threat to our youth?
Yes, sir. I reside about 15 minutes from the Navajo Reservation, and our youth here, both the women and young men, not only from my experience, we have a lot of sexual assault and rape and suicide that's high here on our reservation. And
awesome.
For Native women, 1 in 3 Native women will be raped in their lifetime. 70% of sexual assaults will be never reported. And I went online today and I typed in American Indian girl, American Indian woman, and this is what the words that came up. American Indian costumes, American Indian face paint, sexy Indian squaw, the flowing hair, the nudity. And this is our situation here. American Indian women are the most victimized group in our country. It is very difficult to draw a direct cause and effect between media images and harm in Native communities, but it becomes clear that sexualization of Native women, it's a given. In our community, I mean, it's very hard because we don't have any laws or jurisdiction on the reservation. If a non-Native were to come on the reservation and commit these crimes, they get away with it. It would take months, years to even to get anything done. And these men, they get away with crimes that they've committed on the reservation. And so you have a lot of women here that are traumatized, and there's no help for them. And that includes for the young men. There's a lot of high suicides among 15 to about 25 years old because they're in isolated areas in different parts of the reservation and services are limited. And this only comes from experience because I lost my nephew a year ago to suicide. And then recently in February, my 25-year-old niece, she was murdered on the reservation by her boyfriend through domestic violence, sexual assault. So these things are very close to me. And when we discuss rape culture and the general apologetic culture of violence, it's important to talk about pop culture and the public figures who helped influence their ideas about sexual assault and domestic violence. And, you know, you have these people who actively promote gender equality and the end of violence towards women. I mean, and there's like, I found a verse from Sure Shot from the Beastie Boy. He says, "I want to say a little something that's long overdue. The disrespect to women has got to be through to all the mothers and sisters and the wives and friends. I want to offer my love and respect to the end." And these are just, you know, things that we go through on, seems like, on a day-to-day basis. You hear about these crimes committed here in the county that I live in. I'm what you call border towns, which are ours, towns that are run along the border of the reservations. So I'm 15 minutes from the reservation. I'm about 20 minutes from the city. So commuting back and forth, you see a lot of these things that are happening. You hear about these things going on, and in the news recently, you just heard about a Native woman that was working in a motel cleaning, and she was raped and murdered by two Anglo men. And it's very hard in this area because you have majority of American Indians that support this town that come from the reservation into the cities. And so a lot of people take advantage of this. And we don't have that much rights in the city off the reservation. Let's see, what else? There's about maybe 3 out of 4 that four women that will be physically assaulted. And the thing about Native women is that the murder rate of women is 10 times higher than the national average. There's about maybe 3,000 women missing, murdered, raped, beaten, and 1 of 3 of those are Native women.
Hmm. Yes, ma'am. Well, what I would say to that is that you have my, and my sympathy isn't enough, but you have my deepest empathy. And what I would say to that is that being the case, it simply emphasizes the great need, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, for a complete and total separation from this beast. From this beast. We got to have, I mean, that's the bottom line. See, a lot of individuals or quotologists, you know, saying I'm just not into quotologists. I mean, for example, in the first lessons we are given, which is the student enrollment, it asks a question, and the question is this: it says, "What is the population of the original nation in the wilderness of North America and all over the planet Earth?" And then it says, "Answer: The population of the original nation in the wilderness of North America is 17 million." And then it says, with the 2 million Indians. See, that is very significant. So that means we cannot, that's our family, we cannot leave our family out of this progress. I mean, it puts me in mind of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's lecture yesterday. I mean, did we really hear him, and have we moved out on immediately? Because honestly, I listened to it very carefully, and brother didn't say anything that he hasn't said over the past 50-some-odd years. I mean, let's be real. So, I mean, he's, and they say we learn through repetition. Have we not learned anything yet? And, I mean, with what you just shared, it tells me that, damn, we're not on our job. And
yes,
I'm talking about,
right.
I'm talking about the man now, or so-called man. I'm talking about the FOI. We're not on our damn job. And I don't care who may get upset about it, but that's real, because if we were, we wouldn't have this going on among this group or this member of our family. Now, we still got some time, but I want to move on, because we're going to deal with, like I said, that's what we deal with. We deal with the situations, but we also deal with practical application of these teachings for solutions. So I want to move quickly to our sister, Olushegun.
Kane, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. And the same question to you. In this current time, what do you see as the greatest threat to our youth?
Well, the antidote for our youth is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program, which is to develop the man into a god. And so once we have a develop into that of a god, then we understand the importance of taking care of our people. And we are in a desperate need of antidote. We are in a desperate need of the circumference of that which makes us a nation. And we do have a terrible problem with our youth. They are being programmed by madmen and their programs. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us and has given us the antidote for what is necessary for the upliftment of the African-American man in America. We must take that antidote and bring about change. No more lip profession. The Holy Quran talks about this, lip profession. It's about taking the community at arms. it is taking our community at the geometric state that we're in. So it's block by block. We must start to develop our communities in the way of self-systems, you know, to sustain ourselves. And that's growing our own food. That is acquiring land. What the messenger said and what the messenger brought to us from Allah in the person of Master Farah Muhammad is right and exact. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All praise be to Allah.
Yes.
And Sister Chosen, you got a minute?
I'm so glad that you said earlier that a lot of our answers are culminated by our experiences, because they most certainly seem to be. And for me, the problem or the threat, I would say, is broad yet collective. There are so many. But I would say in the sense of realizing that we need the correction is the actual strength of our unity. I think that would be, from my perspective, the greatest threat, that the actual strength of our unity.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's right in line with what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. He said, our unity is the key. Our unity is the key. Now, the thing that I'm looking at is that he also mentions the fact that we have to have a teaching that would allow us to trust one another, because truly, we're not going to unite if we don't trust one another. I'll give you an example. I'm not going to mention any names. However, I know individuals who are, quote unquote, they're supposed to be conscious. Okay. They make this claim. They're supposed to be actually, and notice I use the word supposed, practicing the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yet, without fail, they will come to another believer and say, ask them to do some work for them. They say, ask for a bid on some work. The believer comes and gives them a bid, being fair about it. And they will turn around every time and go outside the community to have the work done. I mean, that's just one example. So, I mean, we have got to get past, as the sister said, the lip profession, and actually get into actual facts. And now I know you said that you were going to sit on the sidelines and listen. However, Queen Aziza.
Yes,
call
her out.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard you call my name.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What did I do? What did I do?
What did you do? You have simply been birthed onto the planet for our edification. That's what you have done. And
okay.
I want to pose that same question to you and get your perspective on what is, at the current time, or what do you see as the greatest threat to our youth? You know, I know there's a lot, but what do you see in your purview?
In my opinion, Brother Kareem, the greatest threat is the same threat that has diminished our people to the point where we are now, and that is the constant action of integration. And as long as we are integrating with the enemy, and as long as the enemy has a dominant hand over the educational process of our children, then, you know, we're going to always find ourselves in this state of mind and body and spirit that we as a people as a whole have now. We have to really start to build a nation of gods, and we have to really start utilizing the God in us. God, in his essence, was first a creator before he was anything else. And so until we get out of the mindset that we don't have that capability, then and we, as long as we keep conforming to this Western way of life, then we're going to always find ourselves in peril the way we are now. So, like I say often, a lot of people say that slavery is the worst thing that happened to us, and I disagree. Integration is the worst thing.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't mean to interrupt, but Brother Kareem, you do have a question on the mind. I don't know when you want to take it, but I just want you to know that you have a question. And I wanted to remind the listening audience that if you have a question and you're calling by phone, please press 1 on your dial pad, and we will take your question. And for those of you who are in the chat room, please type in your question, and we have a comment in there, and I'm going to take the time to read it, but if you want to take your question, Brother Kareem, just let me know.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. This is Conscious Black Nation. We want all participation.
All right, so the Skype caller who's calling from 111-111-111, your mic is live. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Sister, you have a question? Sister?
You have a question, sister?
And so what sister is that asked to? I'm not quite understanding. Because I would truly answer the question if you would like for me to, Olusegun.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know. Is she still with us, Queen Aziza?
The Skype caller is, but maybe she didn't have a question. Maybe she just pressed 1 by accident. But if you have a caller calling from Skype, your mic is open if you have a question. Okay, because sometimes people do that. Maybe she didn't have a question.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right, so we're going to, like I said, we don't waste any time here at Conscious Black Nation. Now, I'm going to move to the third question, and some of this information all of you have already given. However, I'm going to ask the question regardless. Now, and I'm going to start with you, Sister Chosen. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Brother Green.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Just because I know you, you know, you're in the middle of something, and I want to give you the time. Okay, I understand, and I'm gonna just be quiet. I don't know nothing. Okay.
Please don't tell.
I ain't saying a word. We're moving on with the show. Now, in your opinion, you know, I'm not gonna say your opinion. In your view, because we don't deal with opinions, we're dealing with actual facts. In your view, from your experience, who seems to be in the greatest danger is under more direct attack, our boys or our girls?
Oh, goodness.
The boys.
You know, for me, I say the boys simply because I was just having a conversation over the weekend with someone about how our boys are being targeted and feminized. And so this gay culture has become prevalent, you know, throughout our community, which is something, you know, I think is at high times. You hadn't seen so much, and more so the boys. You know, we were in the mall, and I've never seen tank tops for boys that are hot pink with leopard print, and that just amazed me. And I said, you know, the sad part is I see our young men dressing like this, and they don't see the problem. And so I really think that our boys, in more ways than one, because that's just one avenue in which they're being attacked. And the other scheme is, of course, violence and this, I would say, the culture, music culture or rap culture that makes them want to be a certain way,
and they really don't follow after the positive role models. You don't see too many of those. That I really think that our boys are being attacked more, and a lot of the things that are coming out in the media I don't think really helps.
Yes, ma'am.
The media is that of the Satan forces, and so we must not give our light to the medium. We must continue with the process of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, because it is the only antidote for the human survival. That is my take on it. Olusegun.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. And Sister Native Angel, same question.
Yes, sir. I would have to agree with the sister commenting about, you know, our young boys, but also the young girls in ways of being attacked mentally. It seems to be like men know how to use words to attack these young girls mentally, and which destroys them in effect of how they carry themselves with their self-esteem, which leads to how they are dressing, and also referring. Actually, I had this conversation with my children yesterday because my son had asked me what the word, what the word bitch meant, and I asked him where he had heard that, and he said he had heard some boys playing down the street, you know, saying these things. So he asked me what it was, and I had to explain it to him that, you know, that's not a term of endearment, that the word is actually meant for a dog. And I said, is that something, you know, you would call me or your sisters or your aunts, you know? And he said, no. He said, I don't think you're a dog. And I said, well, those are, you know, words we should not choose to use. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. And also,
that's how the messenger said, we must not allow other people's children into our homes. You are very correct.
And in which those words, you know, are not used in our home. My father lives with us. And these are, you know, different teachings that we convey, and also from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that I also teach my children, and also our native traditions and teachings, that they kind of do correlate. All the teachings come together, and just how the women carry themselves, how they're being attacked mentally, the media, the music, the lyrics, and this is something that I had to take away from my daughter. She is 12 years old, changing her music, not allowing her to listen to certain things, taking the television away from them, pushing the reading and pushing our native language on my children so that they can get a deeper and understanding the depth and the degree of what message is being sent to them. So that's, you know, that's what I have.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. That's absolutely, I mean, each of you and your responses, I must say again, you know, right on point. I mean, this is where we're at, because the idea is that our youth themselves don't see themselves being out of order. As a matter of fact, when you look at the quote-unquote parents, they don't even see themselves as being out of order. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. However, it amazes me, and I mean, this is something that does amaze me, is that I see both male and female, and I mean, I pass people, because I don't listen to the radio myself. I'm not a radio fan because I really haven't found anything on current radio in the current radio program that's worth listening to. So I don't listen to the radio. But the thing is when I'm, say, in the, traveling down the street, either walking or riding, and then I pull up to a car, and I mean, I hear this, I call it make me sick. They call it music. I call it make me sick. I hear this noise. And I mean, you know, with all this profanity, misogynistic language, just horrible, you know, and I pull up, and I'm thinking I'm going to pull up next to some young brother or even some young sister, and there's some old rusted, dusty need Vaseline on their knees. One of us, male or female, I'll give you an example. Last night, I had to go to the service station, which is near my home, to get some water because I had run out of water. So I needed to go get some, you know, water, temporarily get some water until I could get what I actually drink, get some spring water. And I'm walking across the lot, and it's four young black women. When I say young, I mean they were in various ages. I'm talking about it, you know, I hear people say black don't crack. So, I mean, I don't know exactly how old they were, but just from what I could tell, they may have ranged in age from, say, 30 down to maybe 14 in this vehicle. And they had both doors open, the driver's side and the passenger side, with the music blasting. And the sick brother that was on there singing the song was saying that word over and over and over again, saying you, you. And they were just laughing and giggling. And I'm like, I'm amazed because when I was coming up, you know, if you use that word, sister, something to whoop your behind, you know, for using that word. Now it's the order of the day, you know. So, yes, the media, we definitely have to keep all our youth. I mean, the Honorable Muhammad gave us a command in the book, How to Eat to Live. He told us, he said, take your mouth out of their kitchen. And so many individuals refer that to just physical food. They think that means, okay, yeah, they say, oh, well, you know, we can't eat at McDonald's, even though a lot of us still eating at McDonald's. We clap for the minister when the minister say this and the minister say that, and as soon as they leave the mosque or wherever they was at, as soon as this, the lecture over with, they shut down the computer. They don't even shut down the computer. They breaking out the door to make it to McDonald's, McDuff's, Burger King, Jack and the, all that, man. You know, so I mean, again, no practical application. But it goes deeper than that when he says to take our mouth out of their kitchen, because he talks about the fact that we can eat the best food. However, if we're not putting the best type of thoughts in our head, we're not reading and studying. In other words, if we're not eating the proper word, the proper information into us, then eating the proper physical food, it goes for naught. You know, so I mean, that's, I totally agree with that. Now, I want to share something again from the teachings, and it's out of the first place we're introduced to it is in the original rules of instructions to the laborers. Later on, it comes in the problem book, and it reads thus. It says, problem number 13. After learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true. You can always prove it in no limit of time. Then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living. That is luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life. And now, having shared that, I want to ask you first, Sister Olusegun.
Yes.
Having shared that, I mean, how do you see that? How can we apply that statement in helping to rescue first our youth, and then to prepare them on to the next level, because indeed they got to lead us. I mean, that's what it's about eventually.
Absolutely. Our youth is our future. And so if we do not take our youth as a priority, then we see that our future is, you know, exempt. We as a people, we know that this world here is what we call the diversity of what we call hell. And so we have been given the antidote from our Savior, the Master Faraz Muhammad, to whom all praises be forever, and our Comforter who is here for us, our Messenger who has given us the absolute, what we call, antidote. And so we must stay stern on that particular antidote, and that is bringing our children closer to the reality of the Most High. And as for us as African Americans, our Most High appeared to us already. He has given us the antidote for human survival, and we are at a very horrific, you know, the people, the Jews would say that our Comforter has spoken against the Jews, but it is what we call the greatest. We must take the greatest antidote and apply it to our children. Our children is in a state of emergency, where it is that you have madmen who are perpetrating a reality that is not theirs. We are original people, and we have the antidote for that which will lead us to peace and happiness. So above, so below. And so as Olusegun speak, as the Lord triumphs, we speak as a positive affirmation to that of the antidote. And I, as a Yoruba priestess, as a priestess of the dead, I would say to it, the only antidote for the human survival here in North America is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings. Our Savior has appeared to us as Jesus has come 2,000 years ago. We have had our Savior to come to us with the antidote. And we applaud all of the sisterings and all of the brethrens who have come together as servants of the Most High. And we are in our perilous time. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And I want to say, you know, I want to stop right here for just a moment and say I want to thank Sister Native Angel for joining us. Are you still with us?
Native.
Yes, Sister Native?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I understand that you have some matters that you have to go deal with, so you're going to have to leave us at this point.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I want to thank you for joining us and giving us of your valuable time. Inshallah, in the future, we can have you back on Conscious Black Nation, because this is not the end. This is just the beginning, see, because once Allah produces alliances between people who are active, I don't let those alliances go. So I understand that you must go, and we want to thank you for joining us. Did you have any parting words?
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything, bringing me on the radio with everyone, sharing and dialoguing with you. I look forward to more. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. So, like I said, we thank Sister Native Angel for spending her time with us, and she did have to go, because we have to, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, take care of self first. That's not being selfish. That's simply taking care of self, because if I don't take care of me, then what I look like trying to take care of you, because that's all I'll be doing. You know, if I ain't taking care of my own business, I'm going to take care of yours or be in a position to help you. Now, as we were dealing with problem number 13, I'm going to go to Sister Vanessa.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Did you want me to repeat what I read from problem 13?
If you could repeat it, because what's standing out to me is a particular phrase. So if you could repeat it again, I would appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Well, again, this is problem number 13, which is contained in our problem book that we're giving, as members of the Nation of Islam. And here it states, it says, after learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true. You can always prove it at no limit of time. Then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living. That is luxury, money, good home, friendship in all walks of life.
Okay. And for those who don't know, I am processing, so I am not yet a full member of the Nation. So this is my first time actually hearing Problem 13, but what stands out to me is something that I, as a mother, my children, and one of the reasons I came to the Nation because I grew up in a Baptist church, and as you know, we've been Baptist all of our lives, and one of the reasons I came is because of this mathematics and the, what I called common sense. It made sense to me, and
yes,
it kind of failed with my thinking. And so I look at that friendship in the sense of you have to know the people that you are dealing with, and you have to choose wisely who you consider a friend. And so I looked at that in the sense of do the math, and if it doesn't add up, then it's not for you. So if it doesn't add up, it's not for you. And that's just is something that I keep teaching mine, because I have to also apply that to my own life. That, you know, if it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. And there are certain people that you have to exclude while you include those who will actually help you and continue to help you maintain to get to the next level and continue on. I'm thankful that I learned over time, you know, it took some time to get there. You can't just befriend everyone. And in a sense, when I'm listening to that, it's being wise in your choices and making sure that makes sense. And I think if our youth looked at that a bit more, they would recognize that not all of their friends are truly their friends.
Exactly.
And
yes, ma'am.
We as parents, and you know, I know I do. I don't know that all people do that. You know, at one time I used to tell my children, you know, you've got to pick your friends wisely. Well, as a sister said earlier, the teachings tell you don't let other people's children into your home. I had to say to mine, look, this one ain't right. Not coming
that's right.
Around. And you're not dealing with them, and that's the end of the story. So, you know, so, and you have to do that because, to me, that's your gem. And if you don't protect that which is yours, you know, I look at it in the sense of if God, of Allah, gave me my children, he gave them to me for a reason, and my job is not only to protect them but to mold them in the way that he would want. So, for me, it's about what makes sense. And if you choose your friends, choose them wisely. If it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. That's absolutely correct. And I'm noticing that we're getting some interference. If you are on speakerphone, if there are other activities going on, if you can mute your phone while those other activities are going on, because it is giving us some interference. Okay. Now, Queen Aviva, you there?
I heard my name. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, no. Well, Sister Native Angel, for one, I mean, I wanted your input anyway. However, Sister Native Angel had to leave the conversation. You know, she had to go and take care of those precious jewels that we just heard about. So that's understood. And what I did was I read problem number 13, and I know you're familiar with it. I can reread it, or pretty much what I want to do is get your input as to with problem 13 as how it applies to us helping our youth in particular. How does it apply in helping our youth in particular?
Okay. Okay, well, read it to me right quick because I don't have it in front of me.
Yes,
ma'am. Four things.
I understand. It says, after learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true. You can always prove it at no limit of time. Then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you're living. That is luxury, money, good homes, friendship, and all walks of life.
Well, really what that is saying and what it has always said, now that I'm recalling, you know, you have to do what makes sense in a universal aspect of things. Before there were institutions of learning, there was the instinct and the creativity that Allah God blessed us with. And so just in the creation of Allah, he gathered the material in the darkness during the creation of himself to bring things into fruition. That is the type of education that we have to give to our children. Again, we have so conformed to the Western way of the world that we as parents who have been, the children of slaves, we are still teaching our children to go to college and get an education and get a corporate job and work for somebody for 30 years and draw a pension and get Social Security, or we have a cycle of families who go through generational poverty. We have yet to teach our children to do for self. And so we have to be able to understand that in order to turn back to God, to turn our hearts back to God, there's a certain degree of obedience and there's a certain degree of order that has to take place. Even the animal kingdom will suffice in their habitat to survive, and we are the only people that lean on another people to create our means of survival. So in order for us to truly do that in the context in which God meant it to be done, is that we
absolutely
have to educate our children to be the gods and goddesses that they are. We have to educate our children to utilize the educations that they get in
absolutely
higher institutions of learning and do something for themselves, not go and make somebody else's dreams come true, but to fulfill their own dreams and to be in control of their dollars and be in control of their destiny and be in control of their communities.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And that's my take on it, Brother Kareem.
All right. Praise be to Allah. Now, my sister, Olusegun.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Now, we started this conversation with a reading from the King James Version of the Bible out of Isaiah, and it was 11:1-6. I want to now focus on the sixth verse, which reads this way. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. How do you see that verse of the Bible?
Well, what it is that I see as the verse of the scriptures is that we are in the day of prophecy. And the youth is at a very perilous time. One day that you see the youth is addicted to drugs. When you see that their youth is addicted to madmen programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, as a people, we have to be what it is. And it's what it is. And as it was 2,000 years ago,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Miles, you have 7 points on. Okay. it is a prophecy being fulfilled. And so the only antidote that there is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching for the Savior, our messenger, our Savior. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad has already told us what it is that we need to do. And that is to collectively come together as a people. We must be at the ability to receive what it is that the Savior is giving us, and that is self-preservation. And
yes,
the self-preservation is, you know, at this point in our evolution, is that we must grow our own food. When it is that we see that the Satan, when we see that the evil corporation is planning a destruction for us, and we as a nation, we have been given the antidote, which is from the messenger, which is from the Savior. We must do for self, and we must grow our own food, because when we have our people, Satan reality growing our own food, we're only growing that of Satan. So we must now believe that God has appeared to us in the person of Messiah. Two more places to do forever. Yes,
Prince Muhammad. I'm sorry. Allow me, if you would, to interrupt, because we're getting some very severe interference, and Sister Oshuende, we're having a problem hearing you. So I don't know if you're in a public place or...
Actually, I'm riding through the wolves and riding through Babylon at this point.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wanted to understand. Okay, we understand now. Okay, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
And so as we continue to remove ourselves from the Satan reality, which is negativity, we must, as a people, be positive in our reality, and we must understand that Christ has come already, and that is through the message of the Savior, the Savior, which is the Master for our Muhammad. It is the only antidote for human survival. We are in a state of emergency. When people tell us that it is that we must conform ourselves to some gas that is coming, in particular in New York City, we are here, you know. And so we must really realize that the Savior has come for us as lost sheep of the people in North America. And this is real. As the African people in Yoruba country, as I am a priestess of, they do not know that it is that we as a people have suffered. And the slavery, what they call the post-traumatic slavery, we are in the movement of that, post-traumatic slavery. And so as the daughter of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we say to the people that this is a time to get it in order. Our youth are in parallel time. Our youth is discouraged by the artificial intelligences, which is the food that we are eating. The eating of the food is of Satan, is to program in their reality.
Yes, ma'am. Was that?
And so we must understand that when the Savior came from the East in 1920, that we were a saved people. We are a people who have been delivered from the evils of the perilous. Our youth who are sagging their pants, our youth who think that it is that the bitch is the woman, we need to reach them. And as far as the intellectual people, the kings and the queens, they must put their money where their mouth is at. That's just simple. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was resurrected for the people of today, and we are in that day. And so we see that we have what we call the perilous of youth. Youth are holding their pants down, thinking it's okay. Youth are cursing in front of elders that they think is okay. And it's not okay. And so we, as Olusegun, we are the Lord that triumphs. We say to those that the prophet has been fulfilled. We are now at the position of taking our community at arms. We must sacrifice ourselves to be for the upliftment of the people of tomorrow, which is our youth, which is our children, which is the evolution of the human here on this planet. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Sister Vanessa Chosen Marie.
Yes,
yes,
Brother Kareem, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I have to make sure. I have to make sure I don't, because I don't want to lose not one precious word that any of you sisters say, because this is vital. This is vital. And it's pretty much, I'm asking the same question is, and I'm going to read that verse again. It's verse 6 from Isaiah. When it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." How do you see that? In your view, what is this verse saying to us about the time in which we are, and how does it relate to our youth being in peril?
Well, you see, from all aspects of that, we are, to me, in the most trying times, and kind of, I say our youth are in the lion's den, and mm-hmm. it's almost as you're in there, and you are the prey, and trying to maintain at the same time, stay alive. And I think a lot of our kids now don't even recognize that they're in the mode of staying alive. And so many of them are dying at a young age, killing each other at a young age, doing drugs that are killing them at a young age. And it's a tough fight.
We're all living in this building.
But
excuse me a second, I have to work.
Uh-oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it's a tough fight for them, but I don't think that all is lost. I think a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them are conscious, and some of them see the state that they're in, and some just don't. And it's a kind of the same sense with us as adults. There are some of us that are there and are conscious and aware. But then we can recognize, even within our friend circles, those who are completely lost and have no idea where we are, or they've completely given in. And those youth who recognize are the ones that I believe will be able to reach the ones that are lost, because children, for one reason or the other, they tend to listen to their peers. And
right.
You can come and say, the child can come to them, or even, you know, another adult can come to them and say something that their parents have said, and it seems like they have some kind of epiphany, as if they've never heard it before. Like, oh my goodness, you know, you just taught me something that I had no clue, and it's something that's been instilled with them. And I look at that in the sense of that's the seed that we're to plant, and at the time that it's to grow, that it will grow. And I think that there are some that are sitting in the lion's den, and they recognize that they're in the lion's den. And if we can reach them and build them up well enough to reach those other ones, I think that we can see some success with that. Because if you notice, our children are the ones that everything is marketed to. I don't want to say everything, but in the sense, when you think of marketing schemes, they market to the youth. And if we can market the positivity instead of the negativity that they get so much, I think that's a really, really good start. And a lot of it starts at home. Not all of us are equipped to do that at home. And we have to build one another and not tear each other down to help do that. And there's got to be enough of us. Brother Kareem, you can see with me, my patience is a little thin for a certain thing. But, you know, for our children, we have to do it. And you can't sit back and see them in the state that they're in and not give that extra push. Because if we don't, like the sister said, the brothers that are walking around sagging their pants, they'll continue to do that. And you can't have fear in walking up to them and saying, that's not who you are. And a lot of us, I think, do have fear with that, with telling them how to get back on track. And the kids that I talk to, the children, I don't want to call them kids, that I talk to, a lot of times they say it's the absenteeism that they believe is the reason why they are where they are.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. I'm in 100% agreement with both of your answers, you know, to that particular question and in that scripture. And if I may add to that, I mean, when I read this, you notice how it's put together. It says the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And in contemporary literature, well, not contemporary literature, but in the older literature, in the quote-unquote fairy tales and things of that nature, it always showed the wolf or the lamb as the wolf's threat. And that's what I'm seeing here in all these examples. It says the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And if anyone that knows anything about the various animals and how they hunt, one of a leopard's, because of the area that it lives in, where the leopard lives, one of its main forms of prey is the kid or the goat. I mean, they're in the same area. So it's giving us examples of a predator and prey. But it gives us an example here. It shows us, it says that the wolf, who is the predator, also shall dwell with the lamb. So it's talking about them dwelling in peace, evidently, because to dwell means to live with. And we know that it's an unnatural thing for the prey to dwell or to live with its prey. That's just not normal. And then also the leopard and the kid, and it also says, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Now, but now here's the key is where it says, and a little child shall lead them. And it goes back to exactly what you were saying, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is where when, like you said, we as grown folks, in particular as a parent, we may say something to our children and they just blow it off. It really doesn't connect with them. Or another grown person will say something to them and it doesn't connect, or it may connect. However, like you said, they are more prone to listen to their peers because they can relate to one another. They see one another as being on the same level, suffering the same persecutions, if you will, you know, the real or imagined. And it says, a little child shall lead them. So in that case, I mean, that's on one level that, yes, they're able. So we can, all we have to do is get to one. And that one will lead the rest in the, those who desire to be led, will be led in the correct direction. Now, to take it to another level, when it says, and the little child shall lead them, I'm looking at that as being us as a people collectively, and us being that little child. And it referring to us as a child because we are new in this time to the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of exactly who our Father is, which is God. And that it is our place
as a people. It is our place to lead the rest of the world, these predators and these prey, into this righteousness that it talked about earlier in chapter 11 of Isaiah, where it says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to ask for you all's take on it. Also, looking at that, I'm asking, would you or would you not agree that this refers to our brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the action he's taking right now, particularly with his 52-week series, the time and what must be done, the message he gave yesterday on quote-unquote Mother's Day, and indeed what he has been doing even as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was present, but even more so since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's departure. And Queen Aziz, I want to get your take on that first.
Okay, you're going to have to repeat the question.
I'm sorry. Well, no, it's fine, it's fine. The question is that in verse 6 of Isaiah 11, where it says, "And a little child shall lead them," I made reference to the fact that it has some unnatural things happening before it says that. "But the wolf shall dwell with the lamb." And we know that the lamb, under normal circumstances, is the prey of the wolf. To dwell with means to live with. So for a wolf and a lamb to dwell together, that's unusual. And that a kid is also the normal prey of a leopard. But it says that the leopard shall lie down with the kid. That, again, that's unusual behavior for prey and predator. And then it says, "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together." They're gonna be together. In other words, evidently dwelling, cohabitating in peace. It says, "And a little child shall lead them."
Yes, sir.
So,
well, I mean, you know, when you say a little child shall lead them, now how can I put it? I can't really come from a spiritual aspect on that point. But when you talk about the unnatural essence of prey versus predator coming together, to me, it is an example of us here in America, those who have oppressed us, and those of us who have been enslaved will be on the same level at some point. And it makes me think about the kneeling. And it says, like, every nation has its term, and every knee shall bow. And on that day, you know, it won't be any big eyes or little U's. And there's a resurrection of the black man, and then there's how can I put it, an extinction of the devil, you know, or the workers of iniquity, whatever you want to call them. There's going to be a time when it says that when what is least will be made the most, and what is most will be made the least. But there will come a time where there will be ultimate peace, and so there will be no habitation of devils. There will be no war of any kind. That's what it makes me think about. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what I'm reflecting to. But in that process itself, there's a transformation in man, and there's a transformation in the atmosphere in which we think about life and what we think about God. And when the day of all confusion will cease, because we are divided by so many things. We're divided by faith. You know, we're divided by class. We're divided by skin tone. We're divided by texture of hair. We're divided by so many things. And there's going to come a time when those things are going to be so irrelevant, because God himself will be present. So all of those things that once seemed unnatural will be natural, because everything will dwell in accordance to God's order. And that's my opinion, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. And Sister Oluchigun, same question.
You can do my talking.
Sister?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Kareem, comment?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Sister Oluchigun? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I was asking your take on the last question. Did you hear the question, or?
Can you please repeat it to me? Because I am moving through Babylon. I am moving in the land.
Yes, ma'am. I understand perfectly. Well, again, it was from verse 6 of Isaiah 11, where it talks about the wolf also dwelling with the lamb. And I was talking about, you know, in under normal circumstances, these are unnatural circumstances. But it's talking about, and a little child shall lead them. And I wanted to see how you saw that.
Yes. Our children, our babies, are the remembrance. And they are the speakers of the spirit of the what we call the underworld. And so they are speaking, and they are asking for help. And so we as a people, we are the deliverance of that, of the antidote for humans, the suffering. And so as a people, we who represent the Olusheguns, which is the Lord Triumph, we look forward to the antidote to the elites that are speaking. We are needing the antidote. We are in a very treacherous time. We are in a very temperamental time. And so as far as the answer to that of the antidote, we have it. It is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. As far as the conception of malfunction, we need to understand that there is another program that is at large, and that is the madman program. So we must be able to decipher what is right and what is wrong. And so we as a people, we have to become responsible for our youth. When it is that we see our youth sagging their pants, and when we see our youth disrespecting the elders, then we know that there is something very wrong. You understand, Kareem Muhammad? There's something.
Yes, ma'am.
And so we as a people who are in very indoctrinated in the messenger's teaching, our Savior, our Christ who has returned, we must apply those teachings so that we can overcome the disparagement, the disbelief, because there is a reality that is happening, and that is that we have youth that is called for what we call the martial law. Martial law is when it is that the police takes its state, and the police takes its state on its own purpose, what you call when you perceive something. But we as the students and we as the daughter of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we know the problem and we know the antidote. We must go for self. We must learn how to grow our own food. We must collectively come together as a people so it is that we can save our people. And that's just what it is. I mean, that's real talk, as the people would say in this day and era. It's real talk. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was and is exact and correct.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Well, now I'm going to get to the last question, which is pretty, it's really a two-part question. And pretty much all of you have answered it. I just want to get some more depth on it. And basically it's this. Is there truly any hope for saving our youth and ourselves? And how can we and what must we do to protect our most valuable resource? Yes, ma'am, I want to, and again, I know you've answered that, but I want to ask you again, Sister, since you just got through answering, if you would field that question first, and then we're going to go to our other panelists. Sister Ola Sagun?
Yes. First of all, we must understand that the importance of the day that we are in. And the day that we're in, our minister has given us the conclusion of it, really, and that is to go for self. We as a people, we must take advantage of this time that we are in. And the advantage that we are in is that we have the gods who are moving and they are manifesting for us. We must take control of our youth. Our youth has been thrown into what we call the pit of hell. And so as a people of enlightenment, we must become the antidote. And the antidote is going to sell. The market is for the people. The earth is the market. The people are the iwapole, as the Yoruba culture would say, good character. And so we must have good character. The messenger has taught of this day that we are in. We are in the day of revolution. We are in the day of revelation. And so if we will really take on the responsibility as gods and goddesses, as those who have come as the manifestation of our God in the person, we must apply ourselves. And so bit by bit, we eat the head of the rat. Bit by bit, chronologically or what we call geographically, we must take control of our communities. We must grow our own food because we see that we have artificial food that is growing. The artificial food is not for the original people. We as original people, the gods, the makers, the owner of the cream of the planet Earth, we must be more aware of what is happening in this day that we are in, and that is unity. We must come together as a unity people to grow our own food, teach our own children. I have taught my own children. I've homeschooled my own children since the 80s when they told me that it is that my son cannot come to their schools unless it is that we have given them a prescription. So we must understand that the madmen are not the antidote. Our Savior, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our Mahdi, our Savior, the Master Farah Muhammad, has the antidote. And we just need to communicate. And we must come together collectively as a people. Mothers, fathers, we must understand that this earth here is a place of diversity. We have the choice. And so we are assigned to a very special assignment, and that is to free our people of slavery. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Kareem Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. Thank you, yes. Sister Oblis Shabon. Now, Queen Aziza.
I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, I forgive me for being so lax. You mentioned earlier that we had a comment. I guess it came through the chat room. I wanted to share that comment. I don't want to leave anybody out. And
oh, well, I already took care of it. It was a very long, long comment, but you do have a question right now.
Well, let's take that question. We don't want to keep them holding. Please forgive me.
Okay. Area code 563, your mic is live. Area code 563. Okay. Area code 563, your mic is live.
Oh,
wait a Okay, well, I don't know, Brother Kareem. Maybe they shy. They don't want to say anything. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, that I wanted to, like I said, Steve, but you say you took care of the comment. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. That's fine. And if there is anyone else with a question or a comment, please feel free to press the 1 on your keypad and chime in.
Would you want to see them?
About what?
Now, what I did was I asked this question, and like I said, even though all of you have answered it to some degree, I wanted to get more meat out of it. It's pretty much a two-part question. It's the last question of the night. And what it is there truly any hope for saving our youth and ourselves? And the thing is how can we, or what must we do to protect our most valuable resource?
Well, first, you said, is there any hope for saving our youth and ourselves? Well, I tell you, if we don't save ourselves, certainly we can't save our youth. We have to become educated. We have to become knowledgeable. We have to become those doers, and we have to become those examples in order to train our children. So we cannot teach our children something that we ourselves do not know. And certainly it is evident that we cannot depend on an integrated educational system to teach our children in a way that will be beneficial to them. So the first thing we have to do, Brother Kareem, is to become knowledgeable of self. That's the first thing we have to do in order to get our babies to where they need to be. If we fail to do that, then we have failed. In our entirety. That is essential to survival. That is the way of life that Allah God has intended for us to live. And so if we fail to do that, then I don't know what else can be done. And repeat the second part of your question, Brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, the second part of the question is how can we and what must we do to protect our most valuable resource, which is our youth, our children?
Well, in order to protect them, we have to make them knowledgeable. We have to be responsible for their environment. We have to be responsible in giving them an education that, of course, institutions are not going to offer them. Sister Oshuende spoke about the food, which is very critical, because if you remember, as short as 30, 40 years ago, we didn't have all these disorders that we have now, ADD, ADHD, ABCD, whatever it is. We didn't have all of those things. The food has been chemically enhanced to cripple our people, but then if we are ingesting the food ourselves, then we ourselves are becoming crippled along with our children. And this is not by accident. This is a form of, you know, homicide upon the black people. And how do you kill a man? How do you kill a woman without physically killing them? You kill the mind. And so if we allow our minds to be murdered by what we ingest, then, you know, the end result will be, you know, you'll be mentally and spiritually dead. So in order for us to move past that, we have to really, really absorb the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we have to, first of all, stop being so ignorant and stop being so divided by faith. Just because you don't like who the message come from doesn't mean that the message is no good for you. You got a lot of people who differ with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but those things that are right and exact and that are commonplace for all humanity, how can you differ with truth unless you are an agent of the devil? unless you are contrary to Allah, God himself, how can you openly argue with the truth? When Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, deuce for self. What is so wrong with that? When Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, you know, refrain from eating pork, refrain from drugs, refrain from alcohol. What is so wrong with that? And the only reason why you will argue with that, because you are agent of the devil. And that, and when I say we become a habitation of devils, you know, let's not get this thing twisted. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan are not talking about white people in particular. He's talking about a mindset of the grafted one that we have conformed to, that we have inherited, and that now we thoroughly appear to enjoy. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the devil would come into our living room, he wasn't talking about a spook person. He wasn't talking about somebody with a pitchfork. No, they come into your living room every day. So you have to be in control of your children's environment. You have to be in control of the television, of the iPod, of the iPad, of the cell phone. You have to be in control of these things, because it's these things that are poisoning our mind. You have to keep your children away from McDonald's and Pop You in the Eye and Wendy's and all those other foods that are chemically enhanced to destroy you internally and eventually externally and then eventually extinct you. So we have to become knowledgeable. We can't continue to sit back and whine and complain and not do something for ourselves. It says the law will change our condition when we what? First change our own condition. So we have to have that desire in our hearts. But when we talk about the day of separation, like I always say, don't be surprised who you see on the other side. This is not about black and white. It says the war is not a flesh and blood, it's a principalities. So when you see people who are standing on the principles that are contrary to Allah and they look like you, don't be surprised. Because you have some people who are blacker than black, blacker than 14 midnight, but they are contrary to Allah. And it's time to stop spoon feeding and talking about we don't want to offend nobody and we don't want to step on anybody's toes. Hell yeah, I want to step on your toes, because I'm going to tell you the truth in your face. If you are not in a line with Allah, then you are in a line with the devil. There's no gray area. It's black or white. Make a choice. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all keep coming with that fire. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And it ain't McDonald's. Thank God. And Sister Vanessa, Joseph Marie.
Yes, I am here.
Yes, ma'am. I know you're on there. And
I sitting over here. I had my phone on mute, but I think I can't add any more depth to that question, because the queen just went all the way in. I can't add any more depth to it. So if I could just share a personal story, because.
Yes, ma'am.
I was thinking what she was thinking, but I'm not going to touch it. She did that. But when we started the call, I explained that I have 7 children.
Yes, ma'am.
And what the queen said, I can say through my personal experience, is so true. As a mother, a young mother, I had to learn, you know, when you're young, you think you know stuff, and then you find out you don't know anything. And so I had to learn, and in order to continue to help my children to grow, I had to continue to grow and to gain knowledge. And for me, one of the things that I challenged myself to do, I said, every year I've got to do better, I've got to get better, and I have to elevate. And so I continued to press on and do that and teach mine. Well, my youngest baby, who is 5 years old, my oldest is 23, my youngest, who is 5, he is a leader among his siblings, and he's 5. When I say his siblings, I mean even the 23-year-old. He's a different child, and he's a different child not in the sense of he's so much greater than them. his knowledge is so much greater, his perspective is so much greater, just because of the environment that he's been in is more conducive for that. And so that, to me, is exactly what Queen was saying. We have to be knowledgeable. We can't help them to be any greater than we are.
Okay.
And so he has become something that I always, I kind of look back at my other ones, and I tell them, you know, I've told them, y'all got cheated. Because, y'all really got cheated. Because I look at where we are now, and I'm going, man, I wish I were. And you can't go back and look at the if, what, or could. You have to go from where you are and just continue to keep growing. And he's very much a protector, very much a leader, and very considerate and concerned about all of his siblings. And it is very much so because of the environment that he was brought up in rather than the environment that they were brought up in. And so that, to me, is that the young one, you know, that small one will lead them, because he really leads. And I see it every day. And so to answer the question in the simple sense, yes, there is hope, because that's the hope that I have for my children. I said, Lord, help me get it right.
Yes, ma'am.
So to me, I'm seeing that. So there is a hope for them, and too, we do have to have that knowledge and continue to grow. And like the Queen said, you got to call people out. It is what it is, and when it's not right, don't sit and try to sugarcoat it and say, you know, it's not all right. So we have to be leaders, and not just expect them to step up without us helping them to step up too, because a lot of us need to step up and stop being shy about it.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And I want to say this, you know, we're coming down to the last 14 minutes of the show, and I want to say this in reference to that, what you just shared, what all of you shared, but in reference to that, and I'll let you know that everyone that's been on my page and seen my page knows that this took place about 2 months ago. I lost my youngest son, you know, and it's been... I'll be very honest. It has been an ordeal for me. It actually was a great part of the impetus for this show tonight, because it's something that I needed to deal with and get out and deal with what's actually in front of us. But when you say that about your five-year-old, now, my youngest son, I was not able to be in his life due to various circumstances. From the time he was 6 years old, I was out of his life. So I didn't see him for 14 years. I didn't get to see him for 14 years. And then, as Queen Aziza knows, because I want to thank her very, very much for her support during that time, when the news came to me that my son, and I can say it now with impunity, that my son was murdered. They gave some other evidence. They put paperwork together that says otherwise. They said it was an accident. I have recently come into knowledge of information which says, no, it wasn't an accident. He was burned to death. And the information that I've received, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, because now there's other investigation going on since I received that information. But the information I received is that the place he was in was set on fire on purpose out of the jealousy of a young brother over a young sister and her relationship with my son. Now, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing I want to share is, like I said, getting back to what you said about your son being a leader, your youngest at five. I had prayed to Allah over that 14-year period that I was out of his life that I wanted to see my son. That was my prayer. I wasn't going to try to make up for lost time or any of that, but I wanted to see my son.
Well, the day that I attended, I'm going to say the celebration of his life, because to me it wasn't a funeral. It was a celebration of his life, because when I went in to that and actually had a chance to sit down and listen to the people who talked about how, as a child of 6 years old, how he was a leader, how it was either his way or the highway. And it wasn't because he was just some pompous, arrogant little boy, but because he actually had the wisdom and knowledge to lead at that age, and how throughout his life he had impacted and influenced all these different people, and how much they were going to miss him and how much they loved him. And I mean, it was just literally everybody that was in the place. So in essence, I didn't get to see, because the body was burned, I didn't get to see the body that housed the mind, that housed the spirit, if you will, of this wonderful and unique individual that Allah blessed me to be one of the agents for Allah to produce him. However, I did get to see my son, because I got to see all of the lives that he affected him and impacted in a positive way. You know, so, I mean, I just wanted to share that because it falls right in line with that. And for my son to have suffered in the way that he did, his death at such an early age, 20 years of age, the impact that he had had in people's lives in that period of time, I think about the impact he would have had as he grew in wisdom and knowledge and came under the direct teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, it's something I have to deal with. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that because, like I say, that was part of the impetus for this show, because we do have to call, I'm going to say it, I'm going to use this language, and I don't care who gets pissed off. We got to call these niggas out, because that's what any individual who has this teaching, any individual who has any inkling of exactly what time we live in and is able to help or impart to people anything that will help them, and they don't do it, they are being niggardly. They are being stingy. They are keeping the offering from reaching the altar. And so that's why I use that language, because, I mean, that's just what you are. You're not part of the problem. You are the problem. See, today, in the time in which we live, the Caucasian directly is no longer the problem. I mean, don't get me wrong. They are not absolved of what they have done, and they are not absolved of what they continue to do. However, according to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which he gave us in the Theology of Time when he first started it, he said, if you just hang out with me, if you be with me for a little while, he said, I will teach you, and you will be so smart that you can wrap the devil around your finger, and you will not even know he's there except you look. And having said that, Queen Aziza, do we have any questions or comments?
Yes, sir. We have a question from area code 563.
Yes, ma'am.
Area code 563, your mic is live. Walaikum salam.
How's everyone?
It's fine. All praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. And who are you, my brother?
Brother Leon.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. You have a question or comment, my brother?
I would like to start off by saying, in the most holy name of Allah, who came in the person of Master W. Farah Muhammad, the Wali of the black man and woman, I just want to make a comment on the destruction of the youth.
Yes, sir.
Destruction of the youth and the pearl. First of all, I just want to say that since the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has started the time and what must be done, we are being invaded by a crooked deceiver. Now, if you notice, since the minister has started talking to us, he let the believers know to share information through Facebook. Now, this is how this enemy is moving against the deliverance and the redemption of the black man and woman. Now, on this social media we have, before the minister starts speaking in time of what must be done, you have you can report anything that's not right. That's not right, that's not correct behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Since the minister's been speaking and talking to the world, you will see this deceiver letting anything come on this social network, as far as our people fighting each other, our people on the young brothers with AK-47s getting posted, sexual intercourse, and this is to take the minds off of what the time and what must be done. When we as believers, or we share the information to the public, they're being diverted in a way to keep their mind on filth and indecency. That's part one of my question. And I would like to say this about, brother, you said something to the effect that it's us as men that have this training, as men, as therefore I.
Yes, sir.
To get out at our youth. First, my brother, it takes the unity of the FOI, not just the individual. It's the unity. We must develop unity in our ranks.
Yes, sir.
We must learn how to love and cherish each other as believers. As the Holy Quran says in Surah 2, that the believer is a friend of another believer, that the brotherhood of Islam is the most powerful. Our unity, as this message says, is more explosive than the atomic bomb. So it's the unity that we have. You know, back in the day, this wasn't going on, really. I mean, as far as hip-hop goes, as far as how what's going on, see, the enemy knows what he's doing. He's controlling the record companies. He's all up in that business. You know, back then, even though it was called semi-gangster rap, you had a message to it. The whole thing has turned around into, since 2000, since 2000, I believe, with the bling bling. That's what they want. See, the youth is more inclined is to these new drugs, the Molly, the loud weed that, you know what I mean, you can smell it 5 blocks away. See, this is what's going on in our community. And if we, I mean, it takes our unity as men to get on the streets. We can't get on the streets like this here because the minister called us to the streets. We got to learn how to get on the streets ourselves. This is our job, the resurrection of the dead, the number one program of the Nation of Islam. It's not the Final Call newspaper. It's the resurrection of the dead to the Lamb of God.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's my comment. You know, I just had to get that off.
My brother Leon, is it correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All praise.
Yes, that's my brother Leon.
Yeah, this is brother Leon, runaway slave.
Yes, and sir.
I'm a runner. Hey, that's my rap name. You know what I mean? If y'all ever hear that popping on Facebook, runaway slave, this is brother Leon at Runaway Slave Productions. That's my rap name.
All praises due to Allah.
I'm trying to run.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, brother, you 100% on point. You know, I can't add nothing to what you said, but we're down to our last minute. We are. And so I want to thank everybody who joined us. Thank our panelists. Queen Aziza, if you could, if we got enough time, run down real quick the lineup for the week.
Woo! Okay, real quick. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m., out on the front line with the Food of Islam, hosted by Brother Jahad Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. On Wednesday, 7 p.m., DJ Black Caesar in France, our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, join me right here, 8 p.m. Central, for the showdown, Defending Farrakhan, where we will be talking to those who are in opposition of Minister Farrakhan, and we will be giving specific instructions on how we best defend our minister. And on Friday, join us right here again, 8 p.m., for a study group put on the new man, hosted by Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. On Saturday, we got a big show coming up on Young Gifted and Black, where our young hip-hop artists and our young people who are entrepreneurs and artists and whatever they are get together and share their expertise with us. And then on Sunday, of course, join us at 6:30 p.m. for No Romance with Our Finance, hosted by Brother Vernon. That's our economic development show. And then on Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem Muhammad out of St. Louis, Missouri, with Conscious Black Nation. And that's the lineup for the week, Brother Kareem.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, again, I want to first thank Queen Aziza for allowing me the opportunity to serve. I want to thank you, Sister Olusegun, for joining us and sharing your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I want to thank you, Sister Vanessa Chosen Marie, for sharing your wisdom with us again, and Sister Native Angel. Everybody in our listening audience, I want to thank you all. Everybody who was in the chat room, please join us again. Join us every day during the week to be elevated.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. And so, that being said, remember, the thought is the act, the act is the fact, participate or dissipate. And that's it. We're out. Thank you again, Queen Aziza. Any last words?
The messenger is right in his back.
Praise be to Allah.
One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.